G'day friends and welcome to Happy Days. This is your pal Jesse on the mic, thanking each and every single one of you for taking the time to listen to my little podcast, proudly brought to you by my very own little company, Freak Productions. If you're at all curious about my crazy writings of action and horror and comic books and novels and all my podcasts and that, go to www.freekproductions.com and support a great creative cause. I self-fund everything through recycling and supporting artists in third world countries. And honestly, I love what I do. I really do. And I love doing this podcast. Now, I just want to take a moment to say thank you to each and every single one of you that have taken the time to listen to this. You don't have to. You could listen to a lot of other podcasts out there that are much more reputable and all the rest of it. But the fact that you're taking the time to listen to this means the world to me. And I hope that this show and all my other shows motivate and inspire some of you. Because the basis of Happy Days is to explore the happiness with people, great memories, inspiring stories, many tales of resilience and overcoming adversity. Some of these stories are just incredibly inspiring. And they're from people from all walks of life. You know, I don't just try to talk to celebrities. I talk to real people. I talk to people with substance, with real emotions. They don't just have some album to promote. They don't just have some fight to promote or whatever, you know. It's real conversation, and I strive every episode to improve and just really create awesome content for you guys and gals. So if you enjoy the show, please leave a review, give it a rating, hit that subscribe button on whatever platform you listen to this on, and tell your friends about the show, because it really helps a lot. I say this week in, week out. I don't look or strive for thousands of listeners or anything like that. I just want to make positive changes in people's lives and help inspire that kind of change. So if I can put a little bounce in your step for the day, then we're kicking goals, team. All right. So thanks again. I really appreciate it. So let's get on with the show. This is... I'm at a loss for words, to be honest, because every now and then I do an episode that just takes my breath away just that little bit. And this episode really, I got to put this in easily in my top episodes that I've done to date, because this one just hits home really hard, man, because this is a conversation that I honestly didn't anticipate. I had a feeling that I was going to get something really good from my guest, but boy, I didn't see this one coming, man. This was, this is a real story, and I'm so glad that my guest Sudesh Somu came forward and told his story with emotion and conviction, and you're about to hear an incredible story about an incredible human being. Sudesh, I met him about 3 or 4 years ago when I started training boxing at Dundee's Boxing and Fitness. And shout out to one of the best boxing gyms in this country, if not the planet. What a remarkable and inspiring group of human beings that I met there. And Sudesh was one of those people. I was always mesmerized by his passion for the craft, but also his passion for motivating and teaching others to be the best they can be. We formed a great friendship, built on mutual respect of each other. I absolutely love his work ethic, always have, always continue to. He's a very passionate and skilled dancer. If you have his Instagram, you should check out some of his dance videos. They're amazing. He's such a talented dancer, but he's also a very skilled and talented boxer as well. and he's also a very deep thinker. As you're about to discover in this episode, we have a very engaging conversation about boxing, about dancing, about his childhood, and the obstacles he had to overcome and continues to overcome today to live and breathe the same air that we breathe. I know it sounds a little bit crazy, but listening to this guy's story really took me back and made me really appreciate everything that I have around me. Even the little things, you know, just being able to just walk down the street freely. These are just simple things that we don't think about, you know, for a second. After hearing Sudesh's story, things like having the freedom to walk down the street without having to look over your shoulder or anything like that, and also just dealing with depression and anxiety. You know, we live in a world today where everyone deals with anxiety and depression. It's like a virus. It really is. It's everywhere. Everyone has some form of anxiety or depression, whether it's, you know, it's severe or it's mild. We all have it. I have nothing but respect for Sudesh for coming forward and talking about his battles with his demons. But he approaches it all with a positive outlook. And this is the remarkable thing about this guy. He has faced some of the most incredible and most challenging conditions that any child should have to go through. And I know because I've been there as a child myself, not to the extent that he has, but I have come from hardship myself. You know, my mother was a single mother raising us kids, sometimes on welfare benefits, and you know, lived in and out of refuges throughout my childhood as well. And you know, this is probably the first time I've ever publicly said this sort of thing, but you know, this conversation I had with Sudesh has inspired this kind of thought in my mind, being able to just express this. And you know, you just really appreciate the magnitude of what our parents give us, what they fight to give us, you know, what they go through to give us, and that's a better life. And Sudesh's parents did exactly that for him. I'm not going to spoil anything. I'm going to let this conversation take over. But look, I just want to again just say thank you so much to Sudesh for taking the time to have this conversation with me, but also want to thank you guys and gals for taking the time to listen to this episode. It's a powerful episode, and I hope that you can take a moment to tell friends about it and share it with them on whatever podcast platform you listen to this on, whether it's Spotify, Anchor, Deezer, iTunes, whatever. Please leave a review, leave a rating, and hit the subscribe button. It all helps. And without further ado, let's get into this conversation with Sudesh Sumu.
Hey, brother, we made it, baby.
Oh, yeah, we made it.
Oi, straight up, this has been in a long time making, man.
Hasn't it, Joss, man? Welcome to the wonderful world of independent media.
Hey, you know what, man? This is so good. I'm so excited.
Yeah, dude. So you should be, dude.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely buzzed. Awesome. I get to do something like this, and I get to talk to my friends and interesting people. So
yeah.
We're kicking goals, man.
No, it's good, man.
How's life, man?
Hey, bro, you just called me on my birthday, man. I've had the best day today, bro. I'll tell you, I got to...
Awesome.
Yeah, I got to catch up with one of my really, really old friends. I went to his house yesterday, and he asked me to stay, and I just spent some time with his kids. His kids are... He's the same age as me. He's only 23, 24. Mm-hmm. He's got, like, young kids. You know, they're, like, 2 and 4. And I just stayed over, spent some time with them, and it was just really nice, man.
You there? Hello? Looks like we have lost connection.
You there?
Yeah, we're there. Okay, we just had a bit of dead space there. Sorry, man.
Oh, so yeah.
The day with your best, one of your friends?
Yeah, Ryan, man. He's a really good guy. He's one of my work colleagues, and he's got some goals and dreams and very like-minded people, and he asked me to come spend the time, and very peaceful. The day started off really well, you know, watch a sunrise with the kids, kids, and I caught up with Jin, you know, Jin.
Yeah, Invincible Jin.
Yeah, man, he's doing his Ultraman Australia, so when he completes this weekend, I'm going to be there as well for the last day of double marathon for him and try and support him.
Fantastic.
He'll be the first South Korean to achieve something this incredible, man. He's gonna make his whole country proud.
That's a huge achievement, man. He's just such a inspiration, that guy. Like, I mean, all you guys are, man. But man, what he's about to do, it's huge, man. And I wish him nothing but the best.
100%, man. 100%. Yeah. And I've seen him you know, since 2016, I've known him, man. And in the beginning, you know, I've seen him struggle and he's worked very hard. And to be where he is today, man, when I see him, how can we not support him, man?
Oh, I know, right, man? He's just such a good spirit. He's got a great sense of humor. Yeah. But his work ethic is, man,
yeah.
I mean,
it's
inspiring. And that's what I love about you guys. You all inspire each other. And it's a beautiful thing, man. But, man, I'm so glad you've had a happy day, man. And I'm really stoked that you've made the time to, you know, for us to share some happy days together, man. This is exciting.
Yeah, well, exactly. The podcast itself, it's called that. And I thought, you know what? What are the day that my birthday, baby?
I know, right? This is crazy. I love it. Man, thank you so much to the Dash. I love it. You're a guy I consider a great friend. You're one of many of the crew that I first met through Dundee Kim's gym. And, you know, just one thing I take away from that place is you guys are all just so inspiring together, and you've all got such a great work ethic. And I'm really glad I met people like you, because it just really gave me a lot of strength and confidence.
Wow.
Yeah. And I love watching the way you operate.
Man, I'm really grateful to hear that we've had that positive influence on your life. And it's really nice, man. It's really nice coming from you. It means a lot to me.
No, it's my, I mean it, man. But what I've thoroughly enjoyed with yourself is the fact that you've excelled, you know, you've moved on, you've spread your wings, and you've soared up north. And, you know, you're just kicking goals, you know, working with young kids and doing great things and great work up there. So, you know, obviously I'd love to talk a lot about that, but I guess first and foremost, I'd love to sort of get a bit of background here, because you're originally from Sri Lanka.
Yeah, I am, man.
Yeah.
I am. Well, the thing is, the question is, who am I, to be honest? Like,
who are you? Let's explore this, Sudesh.
Yeah, well, it's very interesting, because I don't know where to call myself I'm from, because it's an interesting journey in my life, to be honest, because I was born in India as a Sri Lankan refugee.
Yeah.
Because my parents were living in India as refugees themselves, and they had a really tough life upbringing, and they experienced a lot of discrimination, and we had to move from place to place, and I didn't really have a great childhood myself. You know, I experienced and witnessed a lot of violence in my childhood, and it got to a point where it became very threatening for me and my family, and we had to move back to Sri Lanka, which is basically where my mom and dad are from. You know, when we went back to Sri Lanka, man, this was around 2009, 2010, when the civil war ended there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got to see some, as a child, I was, you know, 11 or 12, man, I got to see some, you know, just fearful, scary.
Yeah.
Very real traumatic. Yeah. Oh my God. Real life stuff is exactly. But you know what though, man, real life stuff that not like kids shouldn't be experiencing, that type of
exactly.
stuff, man. It's
yeah.
It's a horrendous experience that no one deserves to go through, you know? And it's one of those dark moments in my life as a child. And no wonder why I feel so passionate with the work that I am doing now, because I just love the kids that I work with, the hardship that they experience now. It's not exactly the same as what I've experienced, but the trauma and the psychological impact is the same, man. They have delays in their intellectually, they have developmental delays. They have physically, they have developmental delays, and emotionally they have developmental delays, and they're having trouble regulating their emotions. All of these are caused because of trauma and the violence they've witnessed, you know? Yeah. It's a fascinating area that I'm in, and I'm so passionate about it. So I'm just fully in, man.
That's amazing, dude. That's so good. I mean, it's amazing that you've been able to take such a, as you say, a traumatic and dark chapter of your life in your childhood, and be able to just put a positive spin on that and harness it in a way that you can, shine a light towards kids, that need that kind of guidance that you sound like you didn't quite get as a kid.
It was a really different, you know, living now in Australia. I've been in Australia now since 2012. Mm-hmm. Now it's 2022. It's come 10 years.
Wow.
And thanks, brother. Look, thank you, man. This is my home. Officially, I'm not an Australian yet, and I believe it to my core. This is my home. This is where I feel belong. More than anything, I'm a Queenslander, you know. Mm-hmm. This is where I belong. Yep. And I see the life that kids live here in different parts. You know, I've lived in Southeast Queensland, I've traveled up north now, and I see kids that struggle and go through hardship, man. And I feel like I really resonate with a lot of Indigenous kids that I work with, because the hardship that they experience are quite unique, and their problems are very, very intricate. It's complex, because it's not just one issue that they're facing. It's not just alcohol and drugs. It will be alcohol and drugs, domestic violence, abuse from parents, or, you know, there is so many elements of complex issues that these kids are facing, and it's basically not really helping them grow and develop and progress further, you know. They're lacking that sense of mentor and role modelship.
Yeah, and I think it's really important that people like you are doing that kind of work, where you're providing a mentorship for these kids, and they have someone to look up to and learn from, and realize that not everything is dark in their life. Yeah, there is a light, and there is a way to get out of that darkness. And you know, you're definitive proof of that. You know.
No, you're so right, man. You're so right. Because I do enjoy my life now. I am happy now. You know, I believe that happiness is one of those things that you do have to, you do have the choice to be happy. And it is our attitude. It is the way we believe in things. It is the way we perceive in how we are experiencing life. There are so many things that we can do to become happier. The best place to start is to surrounding ourselves with positive people that are willing to do more, people that are willing to support others, you know, like the shit that I stay, sorry about my language.
No, it's fine. That's perfectly fine, bro.
Yeah. You know, things that I stay away from is, you know, people that are negative, and
yeah,
you know, you have to have goals.
Well, I mean, part of having goals is surrounding yourself with positive people. And, it looks like we've lost connection with Sudesh again. That's okay, but we'll carry it on. But it sounds like what Sudesh is talking about is surrounding yourself with positive role models, positive people, like-minded people that are working towards the same goal as you, to achieve positive greatness. And it is all achievable. And surrounding yourself with positive people.
Yeah, I believe that's a very, very important part, because when we came to Australia in 2012, me and my family, we came here as, you know, Sri Lankan refugees. We traveled through an ocean journey, man. Wow. We had to literally escape the country of Sri Lanka, because the civil war was that bad. And we were basically, you know, civilians. We were just, you know, we were victims. And it got to a point, it becomes that unsafe and life-threatening. And my father had to make that decision to either put his family, two of his kids and his partner on the boat and, you know, say, we're either going to live or we're going to die. So it was an 18 day on the ocean. And you know, I still remember, laying down on my dad's belly, man. I still feel the salt water in my mouth. All I could remember was daytime, it'd be blue sky and blue ocean. Nighttime was dark water and dark sky. Wow. You know, it's just one day after day after day. It's one of those rough journey, man. Like, and now thinking back, it's like, I've had to come face to face with that. It's like almost my demons, you know, I had so much fear towards water for a long time, you know, especially salt water. And now I'm at a point where I can swim in the ocean and I can float in the ocean and, you know, and, but in order to get there, I had to really learn swimming and I had to cry, man. The first time I was able to float in the ocean wasn't even that long ago. And I cried, man. It was that emotional. I was like, wow, I actually never thought I'll be able to face my demons, you know, but that's the type of stuff that really makes you feel good, because that was something that had so much control over yourself and your potential, but you faced it, you got out of your comfort zone and you did it. And that the reason I did that is because I was able to surround myself with positive people who are wanting to do shit like this, like Jin Song from South Korea.
Amazing. There's so much truth in what you're saying there. Like, I read this from so many people. Like, even I recently read this in Tyson Fury's latest book, where he talked about the power of positive people, you know, building a support mechanism of positive, like-minded people. It's so powerful. Like, I don't think people realize how powerful it can truly be in helping you face, like you say, your demons, but also conquering your goals and but not doing it on your own, doing it together and like helping each other achieve great.
Yep.
I think that's something that we've forgotten to do in this world today.
Yep. Everything, and it takes a teamwork, man. It's a teamwork.
Yeah. And that's why I'm so glad that people like you are doing what you're doing, man. It's fantastic. Mm. And the fact that you and Jin support each other and push each other, like that's so powerful and important today.
Mm. Yeah, man, I agree. He's helped me a lot. Like, it's really not about money. It's not really about, it's nothing about that. It's about just living through the fullest potential and just being happy and smiling and just getting on with life.
Yeah, I think it's the sort of thing where you do things like this now, and at a later point in life, you can reflect on it and say, I did. Not many people can do that sort of thing. Like, it's astounding the amount of people that I've met in life that they all say, I shoulda, I coulda, I woulda, I didn't. It's like, how about saying I did? And there's a way to do it. And you're, you know, people like yourself and Jen are living proof of that. So, yeah, I commend you.
Oh, that's nice, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And I'm quite lucky in a sense. I'm a very positive person because I actually go by that. I want to be positive because that's the only way we perceive the world and the situation a right way. Because if we are negative, we just don't see it clearly.
No.
We just don't see things clearly. And people, again, positive people help us see things clearly. Absolutely. And I feel extremely lucky even being in Mount Isa, where I've positioned myself. The gym that I'm involved in at Mount Isa is called Derek's Boxing.
Cool.
It's a gym that's owned by James Derek and Kerry Derek. They both are husband and wife, and I met them 2 years ago. They both are traditional owners, especially James Derek is a traditional Kalkadoon man. What that means is, what that means is he's actually, he's a land owner of that country.
Yep.
And that's where he's from. And that gym he owns is actually his. And he's been doing that sort of work all his life, basically. He's been involved in the sport of boxing all of his life. And he's always wanted to support kids and he's done so much work. But, you know, man, it's really hard to do things alone. And I'm extremely grateful that I've had the experience that I've had down in Brisbane with Dundee Kim.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've been able to learn and soak up as much information. And I feel like, I just feel so lucky, man. I look up to Dundee's work ethic so much. That man works hard, you know.
Yeah,
he works very, very hard. And and I learned a lot of boxing skills, but also not just boxing skills, more than boxing skills, about coaching skills.
Mm, yep.
You can be a good boxer, but being a good boxer doesn't mean you can be a good coach.
That's true. So he's a great teacher of all that. And it's funny because, I mean, you know, the guy has, he also has an interesting life story as well, you know? So it's like you say, it's like-minded, positive thinking people brought together, achieving great things. So I think I think it's amazing that you spent the time you did down here with Dundee and the team learning and honing a craft and, being able to take those lessons with you up north and applying it to you know, a very real situation.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. Yeah. And it's a true, it's like, I can see the results already, you know, I can see the change it's making for these kids because they've never really tasted this piece of like victory feeling, feeling good feeling, because there's always been sadness and, family loss and death and violence and abuse, and the cycles just keep on going. It never stops for them, these poor kids. So when they experience this victory feeling, it's a novelty. It's very new to them. So they absolutely are hooked to it.
That's so good. That's so good to know, man. And the fact that you give them such positive encouragement, because that's one thing I always enjoyed watching whenever you train the kids down when you were down here, was you're always just so positive with the kids. You're always encouraging them, and you never gave up on any kids. So you always had, there was always at least one or two kids that were challenging, to say the least. But you were so patient, and you know, and you persevered, and they always came through for you, man.
No, that's good. Yeah. I have a good time, man. I have a good time. It's I do really like kids, man. What they're cool. I think it's because the reason I really love kids is because they're not afraid.
Mm.
Us adults, as we grow and get a little bit older, we become too cautious.
Yeah, we get fearful.
We become fearful, but kids, when they like something, they run towards that.
Yeah, absolutely, man. They're superhuman.
Yes, that's right. And if the kids can be shown the right things, and if they can run towards that, and they're just going to keep running towards the right things, and they're just going to keep growing, and they're gonna achieve certain things that they wouldn't have achieved.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And we have a number of kids, number of Indigenous children in Mount Isa that me, James Derrick and Kerry Derrick, and also Derek Cusack. He's another traditional Kalkadoon man from Mount Isa. I'm so privileged to call him my friend. He also is part of the Indigenous Marathon Foundation. He's a community leader himself. He's also 24. He's pretty young, man.
Yeah.
And we're all working together with these set kids because they have natural talents, but the natural talents can only go so long. Yeah. They need this ongoing mentoring. They need this ongoing guidance. And, for people who are really trying to bring out the best in these kids.
Mm. And you, as you say, you're discovering a lot of raw talent. And what you're doing is, it sounds like you're nurturing that talent and introducing, fresh ideas and teaching them to avoid complacency, which is something that a lot of kids can fall into that trap quite easily. They get confident and they just wait. They kind of think, I've got this now, you know, but you don't, the glass is still half full. You need to fill the cup of knowledge, you know?
Yes. Knowledge, man. Knowledge is a big thing. It's
knowledge is power, man.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Yeah. 100%.
So what inspired you, you know, when you came to Australia, what drew you to boxing?
Well, boxing wasn't a thing, man. I was a dancer to start off with. I used to dance when I was a kid.
Yeah. This is amazing. I can't wait to get into this because you're an accomplished, very skilled dancer. As much as you are a boxer. So, yeah, I'm keen to get into this.
Dancing really brought the real me. Because when I was younger, culturally, when we go to temples or festivals and ceremonies, when you dance, it's a sense of pride that you have when you dance. Yeah. It's showing the confidence. And when you also do that, in the temples especially, people that walk by, like, they will come and just put money in your pocket because you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so we used to see that and I'd be like, I want to be able to do that.
Yeah.
So mom was like, my son's really struggling with his confidence, so I'm going to take him to a dance class. This is when I was 7.
Wow.
Okay. I was really young, man. And dancing was something that was so unheard of in, like, when I was younger, especially for boys. And I started dancing, and mum being mum, she didn't know a lot about dancing, but she just played some whatever Tamil music or Bollywood music. She would just dance and,
yeah,
you know, like when the festivals or ceremony comes. And she thought, okay, we'll take you to a dance class. She took me to a proper dance class, man. And she just said, okay, he's 7 years old and he will just put him with the teenagers.
Wow.
And I was like, Ma, I can't do this because these kids are bigger and there is so many more girls and there is no boys.
Yeah.
You know? And the style that I started off was hip hop. And I still remember that first class that I went, where we went to the dance class and I did the first class where I felt like crap, where I didn't do that well and I struggled and I just looked around and looked at the mirror and I'm looking at everybody dancing and I still remember it so well. And the class finished and the dance master, his name was Vinu. I still remember it, Vinu. He come to me and he said, hey, that was good, man. You did really well. I was like, oh, that's nice. and then I went home with mom. And on the way home, mom stopped by a temple. And I still remember that. We stopped by the temple and we prayed. And I was told mom, and I was like, Ma, it's really hard. Why am I even doing this? I'm like embarrassed. I'm not even good at this. Why are you making me do this? And then she was like, son, you're just going to do it.
That's so cool. Go, mom.
Yeah. And I went, all right, then I have no choice now. So I started dancing, man. I danced for about 4 years, I think. Yeah. And I just fell in love with the aspect of movement. I just loved moving. I just loved moving and expressing my true self. And dancing is always going to be in me. And it always comes and goes because of my life is busy. And now I've been able to be so consistent. But dancing always comes and goes. And I feel that dancing has helped me pick up a lot of hobbies. I wouldn't say easier, but it has helped.
Yeah.
I did karate when I was younger, and that it was helpful as well because it's all about movement, mobility, discipline, balance. Dancing really helped me with that. And then I only started boxing when I was like 17. I haven't been boxing very long at all. The first place that I started boxing was here in Sandgate in Brisbane. My first ever coach was Lenny Hoxema. He's a Queenslander. He's a really proud Queenslander, man. He loves his footy as well.
Cool.
And he coached me. He took me to a fair few fights. But the thing is, in the space of like 2 years, he made me have like 12 fights.
Damn.
Yeah, and I was also very terrified because well, it's scary. Fighting is very, very emotional. You know, it's not an easy sport. There's a lot of emotions involved in it.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed the victory feeling, and I was so hooked to it. And me being I still felt as a kid.
Yeah.
That kid had a lot of trauma, and boxing became a sport that I could truly express myself like dancing.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So I loved just punching. Felt really, really good.
Yeah.
punching the bags felt good. You know, doing sparring and avoiding punching felt good. My movement, I wanted to experiment. I wanted to watch and learn. It's like literally I applied the dancing idea to boxing. I will watch people. The first ever fight that I actually saw live was Jeff Horn's fight against Rico Mueller. He's a German champion.
Oh, and yeah, Jeff
literally manhandled him and just brutally beat him up and sent him through the ropes. And that was it, man. For me, I was like, I want to have some boxing fights. I want to be able to protect myself. I want to be able to, you know, I want to be a protector. Like if someone tried to hurt my family, I want to be able to protect. Like that's what I was thinking. I wasn't thinking about becoming a world champion or an Olympian or any, but you know, in a sense, I was also like, I want to see how far I can go with boxing, but more so I was learning boxing to protect myself and my family, coming from a background that I've had as a trauma-filled child experiencing violence and abuse and discrimination. I was looking at it from that point, defending myself and defending my family.
Yeah.
So that's what really got me into boxing. And I went all right, man. I had 12 fights and I enjoyed fighting. I enjoyed performing. I enjoyed the before feeling. I tried to hype myself up. Even when I'm like warming up and stuff, I won't stand and shadow box. Sometimes I'll dance while I'm warming up. You know, like
awesome.
It was like a weird kind of thing that I would do. But again, that's what sport is, and especially boxing is that, because you have to cope with those fear in some ways.
Yes,
you have to cope with those fear and anxiety and all that kind of stuff, because it's very emotional. And it's psychology is a bigger part in battle.
It is.
The battle isn't the bigger part, it's the psychology part, the brain, the mind. The power of the mind is bigger than the actual fight.
Yeah.
So dancing just was that for me, where I was able to kind of groove through things. I was able to groove through it. I was like, all right, I'll get through this.
That's freaking awesome.
All right, let's go.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's so cool, man. Man, that's exciting, the fact that you were able to combine two things that you love and have them just, you know, work in sync together like that. That's, I don't know. I've never heard of that. That's really amazing. Like, I mean, I've heard ballet incorporated in bodybuilding and things like that, but hip hop dancing and boxing. Damn.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
That's
man.
Friggin' dope. I did.
And I also did a bit of reggaeton. It's a Cuban street style.
Yep. Yeah.
I have to give a big shout out to YCB Dance in Brisbane. Yasim, he's a Cuban man. He's one of the best dancers in the world, man. He's actually one of the best dancers in the world. He's actually danced on the backstage with J-Lo and stuff like that.
Man, that's so cool.
Man. And he's one of the instructors that, you know, I learned here in Brisbane. I had the privilege to learn. And he's such a humble man. Like, reggaeton is one of the styles that I really, really enjoyed. And that as well is like, it brought the best in me, you know?
Yeah.
It was a little bit different to hip hop, but it's like Cuban, like more so Spanish kind of.
Yeah, I think I've seen some of the videos you posted about that stuff, and it looked amazing. Yeah. Like the fluent movement and that was just, it's something else, man. It's incredible what you pull
off.
It's
fun.
Yeah.
It's fun, man. It just makes you feel happy.
Yeah, you can see that in your eyes, man. It's like there's a euphoric sensation. And I really think that applies to anything that you do that you love in life. I think there's a sense of euphoria, and you've talked about this already with your dancing and the boxing. So, I think if there's something that makes you happy, go for it. Go hard and embrace it.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's
agree.
The way. That's it, man. That's it.
Mm. And you mentioned, you know, you did 12 fights. So you really dived into the deep end of things. You didn't just subtly learn a few punches and go, oh yeah, cool, this is how you do a couple of combos. You were like, okay, this is how you defend yourself, now jump in the ring and good luck.
Yeah, I that came from my father.
Yeah.
It wasn't completely my idea.
Yeah.
Because my dad, well, it's funny because this all comes from ancestors wise, four generations ago, my great grandfather, he used to take roosters to temples, and he used to fight roosters, and that was his job.
Oh, wow.
Even my dad was involved in it. My granddad was involved in it. So my dad, I've always been involved in some sort of like, you know, combat.
Yeah, wow. That's huge.
So even with cockfighting and rooster fighting, there's a lot of mental psychology things involved. I'm not even joking, man. They have conversations with these roosters.
Are you serious?
No, I'm not even joking, man. Like, they are so connected to their roosters, man. Like, this is exactly how a coach connects to a fighter, like a boxer. That's exactly how they connect. A human being, like my granddad, will connect to his rooster. Like, he would he can talk to his rooster and he can tell him what to do. That's the sort of power that my ancestors not long ago had.
That's incredible.
Yeah, man. Like, and these are the stories that my dad has shared with me, and he still speaks about it, you know? And
yeah.
And my dad played a massive role in my mental strength.
Wow.
Okay. You know, he would speak to me about the life journey that we've had, and he would speak to me about my own childhood, about how he tried his best and he tried to protect me. But you see how a lot of things happened? We had to protect ourselves. Sometimes things like this happen. You have to learn to swim in the deep end, you know, or you sink and you die.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
that type of stuff. Dad was very real. He was very real about these things. And he also really wanted me to be able to protect myself and be able to defend myself if I was ever in a dangerous position, because the type of life we've had, we have experience, we've come close to, you know, even hazardous near death situations. Experience. I wouldn't even call a hazardous, man. I'm saying close to death fearful, scary situations. So my dad was very real about these things. That's why he was like, he wasn't afraid for me to jump in the ring. Obviously, I was terrified because I was the one that was jumping in the ring. But he was very, very good in terms of the mental support that he gave me. He was very good at talking. He was good at talking to me in my language. He knew how to hype me up. He knew, you know, the certain words that he would use, the way he looks at me and the way he like hold my shoulder. It all plays a role. I feel like my dad gave me a lot of coaching skills as well.
That's so powerful. I love that. That's incredible. And you've had, I don't know, it sounds like you've been blessed with mentors, like from your dad, your granddad, to Dundee Kim, to your first boxing coach, to your dance instructors. It's like you said at the beginning, you surround yourself with positive, like-minded people and you achieve great things. And it sounds like that's exactly what you've done. You know, whether it's subconsciously or intentionally, you've just immersed yourself amongst people that show you a path that you want to go, that you want to travel on, and just really achieve a real positive mindset and journey to achieving those goals. And I think that's incredible.
Yeah, I would definitely call myself lucky, man. I am. I always do my gratitude when I wake up in the morning. That's one of those things. I do my affirmations. I do my self-belief, you know. And the last final thing that I do is, what are five things I'm grateful for? You know, I always say I'm grateful that I'm healthy. I'm grateful that I have a roof over my head. I'm grateful that I have a fridge full of food.
Yep.
I know I'm grateful if I would say I'm grateful that I have a job, or I'm grateful... I'm safe. I'm grateful my family is not in a threat. You know, these are like simple things to be grateful for, but people take, you know, grant for it because they don't understand. They, you know, some people believe this is life. Australia, Queensland, or Brisbane is life. Well, that's not true. Because I've turned 24 today, and I'm really grateful to say that I've lived in Brisbane and Queensland, but I've also lived across the ocean too, and experience some life-threatening, dangerous, and I embrace that, and I wish I didn't go through it, but in a sense, I'm also like, well, I am who I am today because what I went through.
Yeah, that's right, and these are the sort of qualities that you were able to take and create a path, or help create a path for young kids, you know, and it sounds like that's exactly what you're doing. And sounds like you're having great success doing so.
No, it's good, man. It's good. Yeah. Even when I came to Australia, it was not easy. You know, coming to this country was not easy. When we came here, as I told you, it was an 18-day ocean journey. When we came, we were rescued by the Australian Navy.
Yeah.
And we were taken straight to Christmas Island. And I was in Christmas Island Detention Center for a month with my family. And then we were taken to Offshore Processing Center, Papua New Guinea, Manus Island, for about 8 months. And then we come back to Christmas Island for a month. And they took us to Darwin for a month. And overall, man, it rounded up to being almost a year where I was just detained as a kid. Wow. So
what's that like for you? Sorry to interrupt there, but what's that process like as a young kid? Like, is it deeply traumatic?
Yeah, man. The truth is, man, I'm still going through that, you know. Yeah, it hasn't ended yet. It hasn't still ended yet. The truth is, refugees and asylum seekers in Australia still aren't being treated well. That's horrible. Is the truth. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
I know a friend who was detained for almost 8-7 years, man.
Really?
What has he done? Yeah, oh, brother, of course, man. Like, I don't want to go too much into go off topic.
Yeah.
But this is just something that people need to be aware of, because Australia is a beautiful country. It's a great country, but there is still a lot of injustice for people that don't have power.
Yeah.
You know, powerless, vulnerable people like refugees and asylum seekers, man, they need love. They need nurturing. They need support, you know, because
they're humans as well, man.
Exactly, man. What difference does that make them, you know? And I was a 13-year-old kid detained behind the fence, and I would see kids running around the streets, you know?
Wow.
So, yeah, man, it was very, very, this is in Darwin and even Papua New Guinea, it was a very traumatic experience. During that time is when I was exposed to this organization called Save the Children.
Yeah.
So Save the Children was an organization that, again, was another blessing, man. I come across this organization called Save the Children. They looked after all the children that were detained in Papua New Guinea. So I was one of the kids there, and they really bought the best out of me. So, you know, when kids are traumatized, they behave a certain way. And obviously those behaviors aren't going to be positive because they will act violent. They will lash out. They will be angry. They will do bad things because that's all they've been exposed to. They don't know good ways.
Yeah.
That was me. Even in the detention centers, I was a bit of a trouble kid. I was looking for trouble. With the security officer, I was a little trouble kid, but Save the Children, the organization we had, there was three workers that I can name out in my heart. There are more, but there's Dean Robble, Romy Lewis, and Natasha Manrix. These three guys basically just, they looked at me for the kid I was, you know. They just saw me as a trauma-filled kid, and they just saw what strength can we see in this kid, and they saw dancing as my strength, man. And they thought, can you teach some kids dancing? And I thought, oh, I actually miss dancing. If you provide me a speaker and an iPod and a little space, I can get my friends together and we can dance here and we could even maybe perform sometimes. And that was what they did. And it's simple. It's something called a strength-based approach.
Yeah.
You know, it's something as simple as strength-based approach, just identifying a young person's strength and just letting them shine in that area. And it just brings out so many better, best things out of them.
I 100% agree in that. I believe in that philosophy so much. And I think that's fantastic that these people gave you that opportunity in troubled times like these. And
oh yeah, well, Save the Children is the organization involved.
Yeah, that's who you work for now, right?
Now, yeah. So 10 years later, to be with that organization, man, they look after me like their son, basically. Yeah. You know, I just truly feel blessed and. They're flying me up to Mount Isa. They're providing me accommodation. They're providing me food.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And they are really looking after me because I'm so passionate about this work, and they can see that, and they want to give me this opportunity, you know, and it's an area of work that is a necessary, especially in the area of golf in the Northwest Queensland region. I'm talking about Mount Isa, Cloncurry, Doomadgee, Mornington Island, Normanton, all of these little regional towns, these towns, man, this type of work is necessary.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard it's very important up there because these kids are just totally without guidance.
Yes, yes. It's really sad, man. The number of kids that get, you know, just jailed, man. They all get involved in the youth detention centers. And
it's not because they want to either.
No, no, man. Of course not, you know. Of course not.
They just don't have an outlet in which to express themselves to find their strength. You know, they don't have that mentorship to find that strength in them that you've highlighted about yourself, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's where Save the Children really is important.
Yeah, 100%. No, I want Save the Children is an organization that I will always be loyal for because they gave me a life. I won't say that they gave me an opportunity. This organization actually gave me life, man.
Yeah.
When I was detained, I was very suicidal. I went through a lot of mental health problems and I tried to self-harm. And I'm talking, I'm 13, 14 year old, man. Like, and the thing is, man.
Yeah.
They organized mine and my sister's 14th and 16th birthday 10 years ago. And this Saturday coming, we are going to have my 24th and my sister's 26th birthday. And I'm inviting these three people that used to look after me, man.
That's so cool.
Like, this is like the highlight of my life so far.
Yeah. That's brilliant, man.
No, it is, man. I feel extremely grateful that things are playing out the way it is playing out. And I am very positive that things will get better. I think, and obviously the road to where I am now has not been easy. Even the last year, the last 12 months hasn't been easy. I can't go too much into what's been going on.
Sure.
Because it will go into, certain things and I don't want to really talk about it. But
no, that's okay.
With that, the people support like James Carey, James Derrick and Kerry Derrick from Derrick's Boxing, Derek Cusack. These guys are from Mount Isa, like Jin, Dundee Kim, you know, Save the Children.
Mm-hmm.
Without these people and these organizations support, I don't think I would even be alive, man.
Yeah, that's incredible, man. I mean that just shows how important things like this are in this country and I think it's important that we have these conversations like we're having now to create awareness and spread the word and make more people, aware that there are real problems in this country. There are people that need help. There is a lot of work to be done in this country and a lot of our conventional problems, you know, especially in city life here, they seem very conventional indeed in comparison, you know, very, I'm like you. I don't want to go into it because it just, it winds me up sometimes. But I think it's fantastic that people like yourself have been able to, you know, turn things around the way you have and continue to do so. And I applaud you for that. And yeah, just keep up the good work, brother, man, honestly.
No, I appreciate that, man. I really appreciate that. There's a lot of work to be done. Like this is only a beginning, by the way. This is only a beginning.
Mm.
This is literally only the beginning, man. Well, we have so much vision.
It's like they say, man, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step, you know,
and
it's a long journey, man. But it's a journey of learning. It's about, you know, stumbling and falling over a couple of times and getting a couple of bruises, but always learning to pick yourself back up and marching forward, you know.
That's the one. That's the one. 100%, man. 100%. Yeah.
And you're also involved with AMADA as well. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, AMADA, Australian Martial Arts Youth Developmental Alliance.
Yeah.
It's a bullying prevention program that was designed and developed by Glenn Rishton, Brett Wallen, and also Frank Meckler. And obviously, Jeff Horn is the ambassador for this program. And they've come up with this great idea where they run a 10-week program with school kids and also with clubs to help children develop confidence. So they have set frameworks on how they want to deliver these sessions. Every session has a goal on what we talk about. The whole program revolves around the idea of respect.
Yeah.
Respect towards ourselves. Like how we treat ourselves the world is going to treat us.
Yeah.
You know, so we are very big on being disciplined, being respectful, you know, communicating with people in a respectful manner, presenting yourself in a confident manner, but not cocky, you know, being confident, but not cocky, yeah. Being kind, compassionate. And, you know, it's a bullying prevention program, but it's more about discipline in behaviors and attitude than actually about throwing a punch.
That's, I like that. I really, yeah. Cause yeah. When I talked to Jeff about that, he explained this pretty much the same way to me. And I was fascinated by that. I think it's a really good approach for the kids, teaching them an alternative to, you know, the straightforward approach and just saying, well, yeah, you can do it this way, but this is also the other way you can approach it as well. And I think that's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. It's good, man. I'm extremely grateful to be involved with Ameida, and it's a great program. It's a great program. We're going to start our term 4 or 5 in a couple of weeks in Mount Isa.
Oh,
and
fantastic.
We get a lot of kids, man. Sometimes we get like 25 to 30 kids get enrolled, and we have schools, resi cares, and even like Youth Justice make contacts with us and say, hey, look, this young person is experiencing this bullying situation here. Yeah. Could you please, you know, help him with coping with bullying, coping with this emotional regulation. And we are also very big on, Derek's Boxing is also very big on emotional regulation.
Yeah.
Through breathing. Breathing goes a long way.
It does, doesn't it?
Breathing goes a long way. It's crazy, man. It's free and it goes a long way.
Yeah. I mean, people will laugh at it, but it, I mean, there's so much truth to it. And a lot of people don't know how to breathe properly in life.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I completely 100% agree with you, man.
Yeah. Because boxing itself is a hard sport, and any martial arts, I respect any martial arts, you know, judo, jiu-jitsu, karate, Muay Thai, doesn't matter what it is. All martial arts are disciplines, and they are hard and tough in their own ways.
Yep.
And breathing is just the most crucial part in any of these sports, because it just helps you see things a lot more clearly.
It does. It does. It helps give you perspective.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree, man. I'm a big fan of that. And you personally coach, I know you coach kids as part of the programs that you're involved with, but you personally coach, you find certain special kids amongst the group of kids that you train, that you teach and mentor, and you go that extra mile and you know, try and find that extra special something in them to compete in the ring themselves.
Yeah, it's funny that you're in this topic right now.
Yeah.
Because you're not wrong, man. Because like I told you in the very beginning, some of these kids have never experienced the feeling of victory.
Yeah.
So when they experience that, they become hooked. And the level of dedication that they show after victory. And so the thing is, they feel victory. And if they have the right mentors, even after they lose the next time,
yeah,
they come back with even more hunger.
That's amazing.
It is actually crazy. These kids, they know when they experience it even once, and if they have the right mentors with them,
yeah,
and that feeling of victory, they are so hooked to it. They love that feeling of victory, feeling good about themselves, and they want to experience that again and again and again and again. But it's just beautiful.
Do you also teach them that it's equally as important to understand and embrace, you know, as much as victory is wonderful and euphoric, but also the feeling of loss, you know, so when they lose a fight, you know, like a lot of kids can just curl up and give up and throw in the towel.
Yep.
Teach them how to embrace that and create a confidence to overcome that, to march back towards victory.
With losses, man, my approach to losses with kids is stories.
Yeah.
I get through things with kids through stories. Kids love stories. Yeah, man. Kids love stories. And I love storytelling as well. Yeah. And And there has been a lot of failures and losses in my own life. And there has been times where I actually thought that was it. I'm finished. You know, as a kid, man, you know, like, you know, this is going to be the end kind of situation. You know, I'm thinking about my ocean journey again.
Yeah.
There were moments where I thought this was it. I'm gone with my family. Done. We're going to sink now. Gone. That's it.
Mm.
Like, there were moments like that.
Yeah, I mean, you survived.
You just never know, because, like, even in that moment, man, even in that ocean journey, people panicked and people were going to jump in the ocean and just kill themselves.
Wow.
Yeah, it was that hectic, man. I'm a 13-year-old kid. Like, seeing that shit was crazy.
Yeah, that's sort of thing you don't need to see as a kid.
Exactly. You know, that's like lost. That's like giving up for that's it. Giving up, that's I'm done kind of give up.
Yeah.
You know? So sharing stories like that, the truth is, the mentors come from a point of love and compassion, and with the right intention, they can share stories very authentic way, very honestly. They can tell them exactly what they want to tell, and the kids will understand that.
That's so powerful.
Especially when the kids are already going through hardship in their lives, and hardship can look differently. It doesn't have to be an ocean journey. It could also look depression and mental health issues and suicidal thoughts and all of that stuff. It's all the same, man. We're just all climbing different sort of mountains.
Yeah, that's incredible. And do you, like, you know, to keep things light with the kids as well, you know, do you, you know, not only storytelling, but do you also enlighten them with your very own culture from where you come from, like through food and history? Do you share some of that with the kids? Because I mean, these kids, for the most part, I wouldn't say sheltered. I mean, that, you know, they've been exposed to a rich history of a proud
proud times
in the dream time and stuff. But being able to say, you know, because obviously they see you and they see, wow, because a lot of these kids would never in their wildest dreams have ever met a person from a country like Sri Lanka or India. So for them, it'd just be an eye-opening experience to hear stories of the culture, or about the food and how amazing and rich that culture can be, and expand their horizons.
You know, when people come to a Western country, what happens is there's a sense of cultural shock, because they're used to a certain way all their life. Now, when they step into this new country, it's completely different. Man, I still remember those days when I came here. I've never been to a beach. I've never been to a swimming pool. Watching like just women wear bikini in that was like, that was like unheard of for me.
Yeah.
I was like, what? This is crazy. Why is she wearing that out there?
You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's the type of, you got to be very open-minded when I'm talking about this, because that's the type of culture I come from.
Yeah.
You know, it's a cultural shock. And, and you know, me, when I came here, man, I lost what I had in my childhood, because I was really fascinated in the newness. It was all like, it was again like novelty. It was so new for me. So it was like, ooh, I like this. It was like, I like swimming in the beach. You know what? Yeah. It's not bad. I can't swim, but I might go with my friends and just stay in the shallow end. You know, like I started embracing this newness. I wanted new. I was sick of the old way. I was embracing it, but I also started becoming more and more distant from my own culture and my own language and my own music. And only in the last 4 years, I realized, wait a minute, in this country now, but I'm actually not from here. I have my own history. I have my own identity of where I come from. I have my own language. I have my own culture. I have my own food and everything I have, there is a uniqueness to it, because it comes from a different part, you know? And I just really started delving into listening to more of my language, you know? I started speaking more of my language. My language is Tamil.
Oh, okay.
I want to say I'll just say a few words in my language. வணக்கம், என் பேர் சுதீஷ். நான் வந்துட்டு ஸ்ரீலங்காலேருந்து வந்திருக்கேன் இங்கே ஆஸ்திரேலியாவுக்கு. இந்த பாட்காஸ்ட் நான் வந்துட்டு ஹாப்பி டேஸ்க்கு பண்ணுறேன். சும்மா தமிழில் சில வார்த்தைங்க சொல்லலாம்னு நினச்சேன், அதான் நான் உங்களுக்கு சொல்கிறேன். நன்றி. ஸோ தட்ஸ் மை லாங்குவேஜ்.
That's incredible, man.
Yeah, so language is very important, man. You got to remember where you come from, you know?
Yes,
and
absolutely.
That, again, is very, very big with the Aboriginal culture. And I truly embrace that they are very serious on their language and culture and music and dance and art and food and everything, tradition. So it's like, I love it. It's like,
yeah, that must be so
I love
cool
my
for
thing
it.
And I also love your thing. Let's just enjoy.
Yeah, yeah. That must be so cool because, I mean, it must be a kick for the kids as well. Like, you know,
yeah,
they get to share their culture with you, but you also get to show your culture to them. And it just must be just such a rainbow of just fantastic possibilities.
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities too, man. And it fascinates me, man. Yeah. It almost makes me think, man, I feel like that hundreds of thousands of years ago, we were just one people.
I know. And, you know, I'm probably one of those few people on this weird planet that still believe that, you know. I think we're all one person, you know. I mean, we might speak different languages. We might have different colored skin. But at the end of the day, we're all the same people. We breathe
it.
The same air, we eat the same, you know, like it's kind of crazy, but I think it's beautiful that you're doing the things that you're doing and providing a positive path for the kids, man, and it's also helping you on a personal level strengthen your own beliefs and self-confidence.
Yeah, 100%, 100%.
Yeah.
Those words that you just said is, these words I have been telling myself these days, man. I feel that I am the most happiest. My self-belief in myself has gotten much stronger.
Yeah.
I believe in myself and my abilities the most now than ever, because I am seeing results in these kids. I am seeing results in the community. It's a ripple effect. And there is change that is happening. There are people that are coming together and there's going to be challenges along the way. There is no doubts about some people will be on the different pages than us.
Yep.
And unfortunately, we have to deal with them.
Yep.
It doesn't matter who it is, man. Let's just think about the history of anything.
Yeah.
There is going to be challenges along the way. And it's just one of those things that needs to be dealt with.
Yeah. I love that. That's beautifully said, man. That's beautifully said. So, man, you sounds like you've had a hell of a journey and you're having a very happy birthday.
Yeah, it's good, man.
man, I'm so happy for you, man. I really am. And you know, your mum must be so proud of you.
Mum's good, man. I love my mum. Hey, yeah. My mum loves boxing too. She loves dancing too. No wonder why I do what I do.
That is
she loves
crazy.
Everything.
Yeah.
Literally everything that I do, she loves it too.
Yeah, man. Mum's rule. I dig it. Did she still send you, you know, recipes and that to use to cook and then when you're away?
Yeah, video call her sometimes. I'm working on my cooking skills at the moment.
Nice.
I'm not the best, man. I'm bro, you know what? I only just got to know how much are important in cooking.
I'm the same. I'm shit ass at cooking. But one thing I learned is onions are a godsend. Yeah. And spice. Chili in everything. Chili in everything. I don't care what I'm making, whether it's a salad or what, it's chili. So
yeah, my spice level has gone down, unfortunately, since I've been here, man. My body has changed, my microbiome, my gut has changed, and I've actually, that again is another thing. When children go through a lot of hardship in their lives, they build a lot of they build some conditions in their bodies. You know, unfortunately, I've been diagnosed with autoimmune conditions, and I'd be very careful with what I eat and that. And I'm actually going more and more plant based, and I do eat meat still. Yeah, I do eat meat, and I do enjoy barbecue and all that stuff, but when I can, man, I try to eat as much veggies and fruits that, because I just seem to feel better and my energy level is better, and it's good, man. And whatever helps, we just got to do it.
Yeah, look, I mean, I, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, but I can subscribe to that theory. I can assure you, man, plant-based is it can create significantly positive results in your health.
Yeah, 100%.
For 100%. Sure. So, yeah, good on you, man. That's great. Well, Sudesh, man, I could talk to you for ages, man.
Same here, bro. It's crazy.
Yeah, I know, right? You're such a fascinating person, and you've got so much incredible stories to tell. So, let's do this again, man. Let's do this again sometime, and let's do a catch up and bit of an update on how the kids are doing. Because you know, look, some people do, you know, just one off things and not give a shit. I care.
Yeah,
I'd love to sort of hear how the kid's doing, and yep. you know, maybe get Derek involved in there as yep. well, and yep. you know, I'd love for people to hear more about this, and but I think we're off to a great start, and keep up the good work, man.
Thanks, brother. I really appreciate it, because this you're actually giving platform to people like me, you know. I have to tell you, thank you, because,
you're
giving us people like us, you know, been through hardship and come made a life for ourselves, and you're giving us a platform, you know, you're the legend. Thank you, bro.
no, thank you, man. It's a mutual feeling. I mean, this is the thing, man. This is why I do Happy Days. It's not just because, you know, occasionally, yes, I do get to talk to some, you know, people that are broadly known around the world and stuff, but I'm more fascinated and interested in real stories, inspiring stories, tales of, you know, coming up through, you know, hardship in life and being able to overcome obstacles. And that is how we inspire each other to do great things. So it helps me, helps you, and helps other people out there that are listening or interested. And I think more of this, we need more of this in the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, but Sudesh, man, thank you so much for sharing your happy days with me, man. This has been one for the happy books for sure.
Hey, that's awesome, brother.
I'm
honored.
Yeah, dude. And a huge happy birthday to you, man. And like I said, keep up the good work. And I'll be sure to include any links to your work and what you're doing, so that people can check it out and and discover ways that they can support and help, and we'll put all that in the description box for the episode.
Yeah, beautiful, man. I'm actually really looking forward to, because I haven't shared a lot of my story with people, especially about my journey as a refugee to this country. Some people think I was born here, and some people think, oh, I'm a city boy. Hey, I'm not a city boy.
No, man. I've learned so much. Yeah.
I'm not a city boy. I've had different sorts of life experiences since I was a young kid, you know? So, I am really grateful to be, you know, in this journey, you know, I'm loving it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And keep those thoughts positive, man. Keep your chin up, man, and be proud, because, there's people like myself and Dundee and Jen and everyone. Yeah, everyone's proud of you, man. So, yeah, keep it up, brother.
Brother, I really appreciate it, man. It means a lot to me.
No worries, man. Well, I look forward to doing this with you again. Enjoy your birthday week. Milk it. Make sure that everyone spoils you. And
milk it.
Yeah, dude. Milk it, dude. Milk it. Celebrate this shit for a month.
that's funny.
Yeah. But give a high five to all the kids for me, man. Like
100% will.
Yeah,
100% will, man. 100% will. But hey, I'm telling you now, this is my first ever podcast with you, man. I'm telling you this. I'm telling you on this one, we are going to make world champions in Mount Isa. We are going to take kids to Olympics. We are taking this seriously, because there are serious potentials. There are real talents. It's just they just lack mentors and role models. They have it now with me, James, and Kerry, and Derek Cusack. We are a team, and we are willing to produce something incredible in Queensland.
You know what? I believe that. I really do. I will not be surprised to see world champion caliber fighters within 5 years.
Yeah, man. Absolutely.
Absolutely, man. good on you, man. Well, keep up the good work. And yeah, like I said, man, to be continued.
Thanks, brother.
We'll do this again soon. All right, mate. Cool. Take care of yourself, man.
Thank you. Bye. Peace.
And that was my incredible conversation with Sudesh Somu. I would love nothing more than to say the warmest and hugest thank yous to Sudesh for taking the time to not only be on this podcast, but to share such a powerful and incredible story. I don't know about you guys, but that was incredibly emotionally moving and probably one of the most fascinating conversations I've ever had on this podcast. And this is another reason why I love doing this podcast, because every now and then you get to have a conversation that just goes above and beyond. And this one really hit home in so many ways. I've been so fortunate to have some incredible conversations to date with some remarkable people from all walks of life. You know, I've spoken to rock stars, I've spoken to actors and movie stars, professional boxers, theater directors, and all kinds of fascinating people. But here comes this guy, Sudesh. And we asked this question at the beginning: who is Sudesh? By the end of it, Sudesh, we discover, is a remarkable human being with so much depth in his soul, so much passion, and a zest for life that is just truly remarkable. And I just honestly just want to say thank you so much to not only Sudesh, but also to Save the Children Australia for the work that they've continued to do in helping people like Sudesh. And this is globally. So check out Save the Children Australia, or any country for that matter, because they are a global enterprise and doing incredible work. So again, thank you to Sudesh, and thank you to people like Dundee Kim for taking a chance on people like Sudesh and giving him a platform to really express himself, and also to the many people that Sudesh talks about in this episode. Some fascinating people, and I'm very keen to talk to some of these people down the track, so stay tuned. And again, if you enjoyed this episode and others like it, if you haven't done so already, please hit the subscribe button. I strive to speak to interesting people like Sudesh week in, week out, with incredible and remarkable stories to tell, filled with happy memories, but also real powerful stories. So that's the basis of this show. And if you like it, please leave a review, subscribe, tell your friends about it, all that sort of thing, because honestly, I just really want to make people happy and inspire as many people as possible. I don't look for thousands of followers and listeners or anything like that. I just want to make positive changes in people's lives, and by talking to remarkable people, that's what I hope to achieve. So thanks again for tuning into this episode, and thanks again to Sudesh. If you want to support my creative ventures, please check out my website, www.freekproductions.com. That's freekproductions.com. I'm on the Insta, I'm on the Facebook. Easy to track down and say g'day to. And always love talking to people about what I do. So yeah, more to come. Another awesome episode in the bag, and many more to come. So thanks again for tuning in. You're amazing. I've been Jesse, and yes, you have been truly remarkable. And let's give it up for Sudesh. What a amazing human being. And thanks again for listening to Happy Days. Look forward to seeing you here next time. Peace. Look after yourselves. Look after each other. Stay positive. And more importantly, stay happy.